Like, you've got to sacrifice things to get to where you want to in life. Doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
If it's business, work, or sport, you have to do little sacrifices, which you'll see the progress and reap the rewards at the end of it.
Don't just talk it, walk it. Don't just talk it, walk it.
Well, we used to, I'll go straight into it now. We used to be straight into it with, used to pick us up and just go around the streets of Virgin, didn't we? So that's how it all started, man.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Like, God, what would it be? 2007? No, 2008. Because that's when I...
Japan, did you go to Japan World Cup?
Yeah, under 20s.
Under 20s, yeah.
And I came back. And then, well, first time, I had the RX-8, didn't I?
Yes.
And then I came back and then, I can't remember what I had then. I'm trying to think car-wise. It was cars, isn't it?
But it's always cars.
Go around Bridgend and we used to have a laugh. And
I used to love it, mate.
Tunes, didn't we?
I used to love it. Just
I was on the old iPod.
Yeah.
On my phone.
AUX cord. How have you been anyway, man?
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's different, isn't it?
Dude, in the button up these days?
Oh, yeah, I know. I got it, don't I? Got to look representable for customers. But nah, it's going good. Like, do you mean, I think the last time we spoke was about a year ago.
I think it was over a year ago because I just come back. I was back for the World Cups of 2020. What were you now? 22 or 23? Yeah, it might have been just over a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it's gone fast. Like, obviously, I was injured then with my neck.
That's right.
And then retiring, and then, you know, day to day for me is a lot different to what it used to be. And it's just kind of getting in routines and good, like you speak about it, habits.
Habits.
Little things like that. Like, I've always been used to having a schedule put in. Like, same from school, you'd have a timetable and then you go to your next lesson. Same with rugby, you have your timetable, your schedule, and then you get told where to be and what to do. But like now, for me, it's actually I set what times I gotta be where, and I was late today.
Strike one, he's already on strike one. Nah, man, it's interesting you say that, but one thing, obviously, growing up knowing you, your family, you have like a really driven family, like your dad, your mum, your brother, all business, running businesses. Yeah. And I feel like even when we used to go to physique back in the day, there was very much instilled habits in you as a youngster. Like, you know, if it was working in the gym, you and your brother, or if it was doing, you know, just your training, you guys are very, you were different. I'd say you were different to the clique of the normal Bridgen person. You were happy enough to go do your own thing. Does that make sense?
I've always probably not. Like everyone says, you follow like a sheep kind of thing, and not done my own thing, but it's what I've wanted in life, and like from rugby or to your ambitions and stuff like that. You probably because my dad and my mum, like being in that environment where they've had the salon first, and my dad had a betting shop, and then growing up in the gym, like we had that 1995, and I was 4 at the time, but I remember. Funniest story my mum told me. I remember when my dad was building and walking around there, seeing what he was doing.
Really?
And then my mum was like, "Oh yeah, I used to take you to physique car park." By the time we were opening up the gym in 1995, so I'd been 4, she used to take me up there on my bike, and I was off the stabilizers then. But it's like something that my mum remembers for me. And then, like, my brother's been so successful with the 2 salons, and people don't really see what goes on behind the scenes. And I think that's probably, like, a lot of things, like a lot of people you meet, you speak to them about what they do, what time they get up, what time they get home, and like what actually goes on behind the scenes, same as rugby. Like, you see what's on the pitch, like what's front and center, but then come into training, coming in day to day, you don't really see that side of it. And it's stuff like the Netflix documentary, you see probably like 10% of what actually goes on.
Yeah,
compared to what's actually on the field or day to day.
It's interesting you say that. Like, your background is very hard working with your family, and even like you just said, your brother, the 2 salons, and yourself. But like, one thing about your dad, right, physique, something that he was doing back then that people are going crazy about now, ice baths, sauna, steam room, jacuzzi. Like, remember that in the back? That was like 20 years early, like, do you know what I mean?
So I think we'd done the refit 2005.
Yeah.
2006. So I was going, well, we'd done it the year before I went to New Zealand. And then my brother was working there full time. But then it was like the ice bath, jacuzzi, sauna, steam room. And I look back at it now and you like gyms are starting to do it now. And my dad's always been not like he's always been ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Like randomly, like the gym that used to train in first class. And they'd have two running machines. And the only reason he started physique back in the day was because of the two running machines. And they would be set on like a timer. So I think it was like an hour you could stay on their max. And he was training for a marathon.
Yeah.
So he had these two women waiting. Well, he had to wait for these two women to come off there because they were just doing like walking, like some cardio walking on there. And he was getting frustrated because he wanted to set his time and do his record. So he said from then, he's like, right, loaded up the gym with 10 running machines, like 10 cross trainers, and like you remember when it first opened, how like the rows of run machines, and back then, like they were state of the art, but it was literally like off you go, not to like how many Ks he used to go up to. I think it'd be like 20 kilometers an hour, but now you got ones that go up to 30 or what have you. But it was from then, and he's like with the jacuzzi and stuff, and ice bath is like huge now,
massive,
but like a couple of people would use it, but if you had a gym with that now, you'd probably like attract different type of clients because everyone's changed the way it was when I used to work there when I was, well, from 10 to say 16. You can see like how much the curves change the way people train. It does come back around because it was like step class in there, but then it's more functional stuff. And then everyone wants to be big, so you go back to bodybuilding training, and then it's like more cardio focused now. And you probably see a curve, you'll go back to like all the bodybuilding stuff. And he was just, I don't know why, he's just probably had those natural instincts. So he goes, I'm going to put one of them in because no one else done it kind of thing.
He's an impressive guy. Probably someone I might need to get on the podcast one day.
He'd be here for hours.
10-hour podcast.
You'd have a 10 episode. Yeah, I swear, if you got him on here.
He'd love it. Yeah, I'd love it because he's just a ball of knowledge and experience. What was his upbringing like?
Well, his dad used to do like conducting on the train tracks. Like back in Iran, whatever. He always talks about their garden, so... Like they had a garden, you could go pick the fruit up. Used to get up in the morning and water the plants before the sun came up. And his dad had a carpet shop, and my dad used to work in the carpet shop. So his oldest brother and youngest brother, and he had three other sisters as well, that he kind of grew up in probably business quite young. So he used to have to go to the markets and buy the Persian carpets and then sell them. Like haggle, you know, it's like you go to Turkey or whatever, you're always haggling for stuff. So it's something that I've always not had in me because I've watched my dad when we've gone to Turkey, how he acts with people, as in like negotiations with if you don't ask, you don't get. Like, how it's always been. I always like say to my brother would ask me, or like say you asking me to come on here, if you don't ask, you're never gonna know.
What's the worst that can happen? You say no.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? So like, only can someone can say no. But so he obviously grew up there, done the carpets and all that, and then obviously was in 1979 when the revolution happened in Iran. My grandfather sent him over here to study because he was like getting involved in like the riots and stuff like that. What happened a couple of years ago in Iran recently. And he's like, no, you're going to end up like probably killing yourself. So off you go. Sent him over here to, study civil engineering and ended up in Bangor.
North Wales.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he started in London, but then there's too many like people who spoke Turkish. So he's like, I need to get somewhere. And his friend said, all right, go to Bangor College. It's like, you mean one of the best. Mm. So he went up there in his middle of nowhere, but like they're either going to speak Welsh or like doing English. So you're not going to get many Turkish
people.
Turkish or Iranian. So you'd have to focus about learning English. So he went up there, learned English, and then came down to South Wales with my mum then. So
wow,
yeah. So rest is history.
You got two fellas come up, and then you've been smashing, and your brother has. It's pretty amazing to you. And I remember when I popped over your house, man. That would have been last year or the year before when I did the podcast after. Yeah. He's just got so much energy. He's like a breath of fresh air. Probably as a dad, he's probably like, head, piss off. Like, you know, but for me, I was sitting there like, I'm a sponge. I'm curious. I want to know what's going on. I want to know how people do things. And, you know, his energy is infectious. And yeah, he's that type of energy that if he's going to do something, he's going to do it now. You're even rolling your eyes. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
So, like, at the minute, like, this is how mad he is. He's 65. He's, you know, Broadlands up the road. We've got a shop up there. So he's in the middle of just, like, because someone knocked it through to make it 2 units, but they did not do a good job. They just, like, cut a hole in the wall, really. But he's, like, Richie ripped down all the suspended ceiling, knocked down through the wall, like putting new beams in. He's doing this all on his own. Like,
wow.
He's like just grafting. But he goes, I go up there. Well, he's actually running 10K before he goes up there. So he gets up at 6. No, he starts at 6. So he knows what time he comes back. That's how he times his run. And then he goes straight up there and he's done by 1 and comes home and chills out.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a couple of beers with him. He don't really drink. Yesterday, I had a couple of beers with him. And he was saying, I was like, oh, he'll never change him. He's always been the same. Like, he's just crack on. Like, even if he got up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, he would just crack on and do it.
Yeah.
Like, he won't like lounge around, wait. He's just like, I want to start now, get it done, and then I can come home and chill.
Mm. What is that you think, like, for instance, successful people, because let's be honest, your dad's extremely successful, but it's not like he's rested on his laurels, made a lot of money, done a lot of business. He's always like, what's next? What's next?
I wouldn't say what next. My dad will focus on one thing only. You can't go to him. Say I was like, oh, right, I want to be a rugby player.
Yeah.
And then I said to him, oh, I'm thinking about football as well. He'd be like, no.
One or the other.
Yeah, so like when I was younger, I used to BMX, I had a motocross bike, and I was all right to them, but like my number one thing was rugby. And then he said to me at one point before I went to New Zealand, he's like, right, you got to choose now. You got to either sell your motocross bike or keep it, and you kind of like just stay over here and don't do it. I was like, oh, no, I'll sell my motocross bike and go to New Zealand. So he's always been like one direction.
Yeah.
He's kind of like me and my brother bang on to him, like try and give him ideas and stuff. He goes, like, I can go to like say about him knocking it through now. I could tell him something else about something, I don't know, or what are you doing on the weekend or something like that? Do you want to build a shed? He'd be like, no, I got this is my job.
That's
even if he's chilling on Saturday, Sunday, you'll just, no, this is my one focus. And you'll focus on that one thing instead of being like here and everywhere kind of thing.
Instead of trying to spread himself too thin.
Yeah. So you'll do one thing, nail it out, and get it done as fast as possible and move on.
There's some tips for business there for people right now. But it's so true though, isn't it? Like we do things, we get excited with it, and then a shiny object comes in our rear view or on the corner of our eye, and we're like, let's try that. And then we've stopped our attention on what was going so well, and then maybe that idea drops a little bit. It's quite interesting, things like that. But
I think you can take your eye off the ball and eye off the prize, because if you get distracted by one thing, like I'm probably more a little bit opposite to him. I'm always thinking about other things at the same time, and then you might let, like, I'm probably keeping busy, but I'm not busy on one thing. But like, that's why I'm trying to be more like, well, him, more focused on one thing. Make sure I get that right, and then I can like slowly progress. And when you get things in place, it turns like a cog, doesn't
it? Of course. I think that though comes down to not stagnant, but like, I think this might come back to rugby, but we're very process and progress vision. So we're always looking for the weekend game. We need to move the needle forward. So if the needle's not moving forward every hour of every day at training or on the field or in the gym, I think we want to pivot. I'm speaking for my behalf. It's like, oh, if we get no result, I need to pivot onto this and let that, just grow a little bit and go back to it, you know? But it's impressive anyway. Whatever he's doing, he's smashing it. This podcast be for Heady now.
It's like that. It's like, as anything, like, you know, if you get distracted, same as in rugby, or sports, if you get like, I don't know, like when I was coming up through the ranks and stuff, I remember like obviously 15, 16 used to go into Bajend and have a few drinks, and then it was a point I was like, I'm not drinking anymore. Yeah. It didn't bother me going out and staying out late, but I would just drive home and drop people off and all that. But like I could have easily gone down the path of, yeah, going out every weekend, enjoying the social life and not being that committed to playing. And then, like, you've got to sacrifice things to get to where you want to in life. Doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
If it's business, work, or sport, you have to do little sacrifices, which you'll see the progress and reap the rewards at the end of it.
But that, like you just said then, though, obviously for me, 2 years younger than you, I've watched, that's what I mean, you're different to the rest. Because so many people are easily led and don't want to look stupid in front of the boys, or they don't want to be judged. So they will have that beer. They will be that idiot. But you did sacrifice a lot growing up in that aspect. Yeah. As in drink, because drinking is a massive culture thing.
Yeah. I think like everyone will say, I'm probably more stubborn. That's why I've done whatever I want to do.
It works.
Like my brother says to me, he goes, oh, if you said like on... like, I'll give a prime example. You stay up late over my brother's house, I'll have to go, right, I'm going to bed. I'll just, like, good night and go, like, even though they'll stay up till, like, 3 a.m, I'll have to go off and, like, 12 o'clock. But, yeah, it's just one of those things. Not I've always been, like, you know what you kind of want. Yeah. And then you just go with how you feel kind of thing.
Do you think growing up when you broke through, was it a moment in particular where you were like, I'm starting to, you know, like that, that it was just like a moment that you know?
I've never played rugby to earn money or anything like that. I always had, my goal was to play for, like, be international player, play for Wales and go to win a World Cup. That's always been what I've always wanted to do. That's why, like, when I had my neck injury, I was so close to going to another one and having another opportunity to go to another World Cup. It's kind of like, not a setback, but you can control the controllables kind of thing. So, like, I went to World Cup, it was amazing, got to the semi-finals, should have got to the final, but never know. But it's just those, like, things you do and do. You mean it's those things you think about, and I've never thought to myself, I'm gonna earn X amount, I wanna, from rugby. It's always been, felt like from the age of six, you know, when you play touch rugby from the age of six, it felt like the same, like Tuesday, Thursday, training, play on a Saturday. Yeah. It felt the same all the way through my career.
Cool.
So it didn't feel like work. Like, you turn up, you work hard, but it's like, well, I used to go to the gym when I was like 15, 16, do like light weights, nothing serious, but like...
you were already doing these things before you even went into full-time environment.
And it just feels like a natural habit. Like when you get set in a way, it's not, I've never gone into training and go, oh yeah, I can't. You do feel tired. You like go, oh no, today I'm not going to train or anything like that. It's just like, you've just used to it. It's just a normal habit that you always get do every day.
That's true. Do you find, though, like, the days you don't want to train them, though, like, you'll have that mentality? I don't know, now you're retired, but when you were playing, I'm going to clarify that. When you were playing, did you find, though, like, the days you didn't want to train, you'd put in a harder session than you would on the days that you would normally? Like, because, like...
Oh, I've been always one of them. I've always wanted to get up in the... Same as my dad, just get up in the morning, train. And I know it's, like, done, because I know if I come to 4 or 5 o'clock...
Yeah.
Oh, you're looking forward to food and, like, chill out. But, like, if you do it in the morning, you got the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And you don't realise, you notice you've trained in the morning. But, like, a lot of people dread training in the evening. But, like, because I've changed now and obviously work with the garage and stuff, I'm always like, right, I'm trying to get into good habits. What can I, not get into good habits, or where can I fit my training in? And I was, like, coming back from work and I was like, well, I could train after work and then have food, and then by the time you sit on the sofa, it's 8, 9 o'clock, and watch some TV, and I'm always like, I like going to bed before 10, but it's like slowly
creeping
outside of, like, since I finished rugby and stuff, and when you're injured, like, that gets pushed, but I've always been like, pre-season, I was probably in bed at 8:30. Like, in season, I would hate to see 10 o'clock, so I'd always be sleeping by 10 and try and get as much sleep in, because recovery is massive, but... Like, how I fit in, I got up, like, this week's I've been really good. I haven't trained that much. I've like jumped on the bike, like if I've got up early or what have you. But like I was like, right, I'm gonna set my alarm, get up at 6,
yeah,
and then do what I do. Like if I have to walk the dog or stuff. So I, on Tuesday, I was like, right, got up at 6, went for a run with the dog. And then I stopped like 3 times on the run. I did run far, yeah.
Come on, brother. Wait, how far were you going?
I think it was like 3 miles. It was like my first run in God knows how long. And I was running with him, and it was this one point. I was like, because it was hammering down with rain, and I got my rain jacket down the van, so I borrowed my wife's, and she uses my Lions like waterproof. And I was running at one point, and I looked down and I looked and I saw the Lions badge, and I was like, God, what? I wouldn't stop if I was playing rugby now. And it's just like that mindset. Like,
yeah.
You play mind games when obviously you've got stuff to like push for or train for or
goals.
Achieve. Yeah. But like, because I'm doing this for just like health, be fit, you know,
general,
not put on weight, like, I was just like, oh, it don't matter if I stop now. And it's never been like a mentality thing. I've like, it's only up and down my lane, but I would like just run all the way and run back. Mm. But like, because I haven't ran for so long, like I was running, I was like, flipping heck, I'm getting a stitch here. And I've only like 5 minutes. But I was like out of breath, and it's not something I've experienced, because I'm changed continuously, and it's like going back to basics. But I've never been that person. I've only realized till now, because I've trained for so long. Mm. Like, do you know when people say, oh yeah, I ran, I had to stop X amount of times? And I was like in my head, I was like, all the time, I was like, why would you stop?
Why'd you stop?
Yeah, why you just keep going? But it's kind of like one of those things, because I'm doing it for my health side.
Yeah.
I'm not pushing myself to like go through those barriers that you can go through that you don't realize you can. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, I'll just stop now. Walk a bit and then carry on running. And I've done some like light weights after, like doing push and pull, 10 minutes done, and that's me. Like, so I'm trying to get back into that, just look after the body.
Nice, man. Well, like you said, when you've got, you know, 30 blokes or 25 blokes next to you training every day, it's quite easy to get motivated. Self motivation is totally different on your own. And you can easily, if you've got no goal or a sense of like, you've got a career now in something totally different. So it's like, that doesn't require you to be busting your ass every day in the gym.
What I find, like, the hard thing is, like, I've never needed that motivation playing. Yeah. Like, I've always, like, just got up, done my work. Like, even in the gym, I've never, like, looked at anyone else while they were doing and all that. I've just literally done my weights, get out of the gym, not as fast as possible, do what I need to do to get my goals and achievements, and even like doing fitness or what have you in my own time. Say we were off or had a break, I would just like crack on with it. I wouldn't think about it. But like now, it's a point where I'm like, well, yeah, I'll get up tomorrow and do it kind of thing. Going back to a point, I've never like looked at anyone and gone, oh right, he's training hard on me, because I know like I can do as much as I can, like train as much as I can, and if I'm doing more or doing less than someone, if I'm performing and getting better, I know I'm better myself on the pitch. And at the end of the day, my like your performance is way what you're doing right or wrong kind of thing.
Well, you're comparing yourself to yourself then, aren't you? You're not what's that saying, comparison is a thief of joy.
Yeah.
So if you're comparing yourself to the Jack guy who's a winger that doesn't need to do the tough carries like you or Jacqueline all the time, and he's just doing the sprints, then...
But it came from Lee Davis, coach of the Ath when growing up.
Divi's dad.
Yeah, Tanky. And he said, right, boys, stop watching them, worry about you boys. And he was like, you'd get us to like focus like on our like warm up than actually stop watching the other team. And I like, even like professionally, wherever, I would never look across the field to see them warming up. You'd catch like obviously running out, you'd see them, but you wouldn't like focus, look what they're doing and stuff. You just crack on. I'd crack on with my own thing.
That's interesting. That is,
it goes back to
rugby,
the performance, but
yeah,
it's given me that base for
something else. It's like a launch pad to something else.
Yeah.
You know, you said something. You just said something then. We're talking about like what time of the day you get stuff done, and like how you just want to get it done in the morning, out of the way. Have you ever read the book Eat the Frog? Mm. So basically the concept, Eat the Frog, is essentially getting your hardest task of your day done at the start of your day. So what tends to happen with people, it could be training, it could be anything, or it could be someone in an office. They essentially, like, they have a task that they know is an absolute shit one to do, right? But they'll do all of these, they'll say, like, this is the biggest task. Yeah. They'll do all of these little tasks around it, micro tasks. They're good, but they're not really moving the needle forward. We all know that this bugger right here is the key element of feeling better, knowing you've achieved something hard in that day, right? Yeah. And they just leave it, push it back to the next day, and they go, I'll do it tomorrow. Push it back, I'll do it tomorrow. Before you know it, they procrastinate on it, yeah, and it becomes this fucking big thing, but it's not really a big thing. So essentially, if you attack it the first thing in your day and get it done, you get like an instant dopamine hit, feel good, and then if you can continue that, you're actually getting dopamine hits off doing your hardest task of your day. So like you said earlier, going to the gym, getting it done straight away, that's like, boom.
Yeah.
The hardest part of the day is done. Now all I got to do now is sell cars or get quotes or deal with clients. Or at one stage when you were a pro player, though, that wasn't your frog anymore because that was hardwired into you. So you don't essentially, like me right now, I get up, I train 6 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
But that's not my frog. My frog is now is dealing, speaking with clients. My frog now is making sure my content's right. My job now is making sure I'm dealing with my admin person and making sure other things are in, because this is a new realm for me.
Yeah.
Because that's not new anymore. But it's just quite interesting.
Yeah, because I find that in the garage, like, you can sit on something, like, say something needs to be done, and you kind of like, right, I need to make a phone call and sort this. But then, I don't know, say you get distracted, like today we were like moving, like our biggest job was actually moving the forecourt and changing the forecourt around. And it was good because we got it done, it was out of the way, and then we didn't have to worry about it all day, and we had picked up little things. But you can, like, I don't like, it can't, it's like little things. You start, right, I need to phone X and sort out something. But then, oh, hang on, I'm going to, like, order something off eBay for the workshop or, like, do you mean get a car cleaned? Or, like, I have done it in the past where, you, like, you kind of, like, waffle and get distracted about little things that shouldn't make a difference. You can sort out another time.
100%, man.
And then you kind of, like, like you said, if you deal with the hardest thing, not the hardest thing, but the thing that you need, it's probably the most important
it's
when
important
you think about
thing,
it.
Yeah.
The most important thing, you get done straight away, and then your day kind of is more relaxed.
For sure.
Like, you find out, like, you can get set there and just, like, go on and on, like, 2 o'clock, like, your day's, like, chilled out, there's not much going on, and then you can find something else to do. Like, in the garage, it can go from being dead to busy matter of minutes.
And
what I found, if it's busy morning, get stuff done, like moving cars, washing, what have you, dropping them to the detail and stuff. 11 o'clock then, it starts going fast, so get your lunch in 12, or as soon as you have a hot meal, someone turns up, it happens all the time. But actually, like, from, say, 2 till 5, like, you might have, like, one person after another, or two people come at the same time, so you're trying to deal with them, but then it just gets busier and then your day's gone then. So if you've left something that you said, like, you should really deal with straight away to the end of the day, you're not going to catch up on it. And it's going to go to the next day and next day.
It's like, how many people do you know, right? They go into bed in the middle of the night, or they woke up in the middle of the night and they're like, I've got to get X, Y, and Z. I've got to get that email sent. I've got to get that. And it was probably a task they needed to get done that day, and they've just sat on it. And now they're having a shit sleep. And they wake up, they scroll on their phone for half an hour, neck full coffees, get into the day, and they're like, fuck, I'm back in that bubble again.
Yeah.
But it's just habits.
I think it's learning more than anything, because, like, it's the first year that doing the cars and the forecourt, it's been 1 year, like March time, that is, I've actually done it properly. Mm. Like, we've done it in the past, like, we've go pick up cars here and there, but it went serious. It's like more of a hobby, and still, like, I enjoy it. It's a laugh, like, but then it's a serious side to it. But like, I've learned so much over this first year that, like, the more it goes on, I'm not getting more efficient by knowing what to do and actually just coming smoother with everything. Because at the end of the day, like, this is what you find in rugby, is that you go, right, train till 2, oh yeah, but I gotta like ring the mortgage advisor and sort my mortgage out, but it's not due for another 2 months. I'll do it tomorrow. But then your day's done at two, so you can just pick up a phone, 10-minute call, and you're sorted.
Yeah.
So it's those little things.
They're my frogs, mate. They're my annoying. It's like ringing up someone I know is a shit conversation, calling someone if it's an accountant, or if it's calling someone something tedious. I hate dealing with paperwork. It's not my thing. I'm in person. We'll get shit done right now. But if I gotta go on my laptop and open my emails, that's why I have to delegate that now, because I'm not effective. It takes longer, and you could probably get someone for a cheaper to do it. It's way more effective than me because it's just not essential for me anyway, because I'm not good at it.
With like paperwork, I've always been all right at. But like you say, it's just like that phone call you need to make or do something. It's just what I'm learning now is just, I used to text loads because of rugby. You didn't know what time you're in sessions and stuff. I used to text loads and you spend all day messaging someone. I can't stand it now. I literally just ring someone.
Get it done.
Get it done within 2 minutes. You've sorted out what you probably text for an hour for.
Yeah.
And that's like a little thing I've learned from coming out of rugby.
It's like, it's so true. But then let me ask you this. When someone sends you a voice note and you see 3 minutes, 4 minutes.
I don't do anything over a minute 30.
Speed 2X.
my brother's the worst, right? 2X and he waffles. Do you know what I mean? You like talk, like 30 seconds in, he goes, oh, I forgot what I was saying, hang on. And then he just like that, like, I voice note, but I'm trying to like, any, it has to be under a minute.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it has 100%. To be under a minute, because that ain't getting seen. It's 30 seconds, isn't it?
Oh, it makes me laugh. It's so true, though. Everyone experiences it. Let's talk about the business. Obviously, when we spoke last time, Cute Club it was?
Yeah. So we've merged with a garage that's been going since 1979.
Nice.
It's just more opportunities and how long they've been going. And it's been a massive leap forward for us. Like we've got the forecourt now. I think we're up to like 35 cars.
Oh, wow.
So it's growing. Hopefully we get up to like 60 in the next couple of months. But it's just like growing naturally, which has been good. It just speeds up like stuff in the workshop. Like the finance rates we got is like 8.9 percent, and it's with Black Horse, and we're the only dealer in the Vale of Glamorgan that does who are with Black Horse. So it's a massive thing for us, because you look at finance out there, like a lot of used dealers probably at 10.9 to 12% like you normally charge, and it's just beneficial for us that way, and like some of the stuff we get, and it just helped the process a lot more and probably for us to move a lot faster.
So when you're talking about the interest, is this like if you're going to get a loan on a finance car? So that, what would the percentage be for the car? Like if some, it obviously depends, is it on every car or?
No, so we got like it depends how the age of the car.
Yeah.
So it starts at 8.9 is our like lowest, like, PCP and HP. Yeah. I sound like a salesman.
Let's rip it in, brother. This is the blues for you now.
Like HP is like you own it at the end. PCP, you have a chunk of money that you can pay off or like part exchange it to go again or give it back to the finance company. So a lot of people PCP because it's a lot less a month. But we can like start at 8.9 across the board, and then it moves up ever so slightly on the age of vehicle and stuff like that. So that's probably the main thing, is like the age of the vehicle. But like 8.9, we can, I think it's,
that's low, mate.
Yeah, I think it's up to 12 years old, the vehicle, like finishing. So
I have to come have a word with you about my car, mate. No, I'm not.
I do you a very good price. Yeah.
A young heady.
Yeah, I know. That's where it came from. That's him selling memberships in the gym.
I love it, brother. I love it. But it's cool to see, man. So where is it based?
It's in Barry.
Barry, nice.
So it's, well, from Culverhouse Cross is 5 minutes. From the M4 is 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's really close to Cardiff Airport, which people can fly in, grab a car and off they go.
Nice.
Train station into Cardiff. From Cardiff Central, it's like 5 minutes on the train. Because I get a train into work sometimes, yeah.
Nice.
So if I've dropped the car off, like to Fuller's in Bergen.
What are they, body parts?
So they normally, like, it's all the cool bits that they do, like the touch up the wheels, like make it look nice, just so it goes on the forecourt. Because, like, the stuff we buy, like, we buy minimal prep. So it goes into the garage, has a 130-point check mechanically, make sure it doesn't need tires, brakes, etc., oil levels. If it hasn't had a service, we do a, like, it needs a recent service, so we do that, MOT, and then obviously goes, gets prepped, put on the forecourt photograph, and then,
nice.
So it was kind of, it's kind of like running good now.
How are you finding the process now? Obviously, can you relate a lot of sports to it, the process of business?
At times, yeah, you probably don't realise. I've always been one of those people that are quite hands-on, so I'm happy to do it. Like clean the cars or whatever, but we got a guy now and he's probably like one of the best guys around. He's been doing it for years, but he won't call himself a detailer. He goes, I clean cars. It's it's weird. So he's like, he's really good. He's been doing it for years. So his dad's background was he's worked in the body, like he used to spray cars and stuff. So his like detail with actually like say polishing the cars and stuff gets it up. Like you can compare like two cars, you just had one in and he's done one. Nice. Like same car, exact car, like the difference is like it makes it like it feel like more of a new car. Just like little things like that has helped. And
nice,
like I think I'm weird because like if I got up at six, that's why I've like trained. I was like, if I get, I need to like kind of leave by like 7:30, miss the traffic, so I'm in for like around 8:30. But it's like little things like with rugby, I just like rather go in straight away, but I'm not trying to force myself. But like, I've got up at like 5:00. I'm like, right, should I go in? And I've gone in and like just done some paperwork or
get like the ball rolling,
the Excel spreadsheet and all that, see what's coming in, or like just
nice,
like looking at adverts and seeing where they are, how they're doing and stuff. So you do look at like stats and all that, but you kind of have a feel for it.
Yep.
As in, like, is the stock turning over or.
What's your best attribute? We all have our strengths and weaknesses. Like, are you good with people? Are you good more in the background?
I don't know. It's hard because, like, obviously, a lot of people know. Obviously, you play rugby. Used to play rugby. And I don't know.
Never cut the locks, though. You've got to keep them locks forever, man.
Yeah, I know. If I shaved it, no one would buy a car.
Who's that?
But, like, I was on the guy came in today and he's like, oh, yeah, I seen you yesterday. He's like, looking at the camp we got in stock. Saw you yesterday, like, outside. I thought, oh, I'll pop in because I saw the camper, and then just started talking to him, and he started obviously talking about rugby, and it don't bother me. I'll talk to anyone about anything and everything, but I think because the situation with rugby, that being around people and not fans but like supporters, you'll talk, like I've always been, I'll talk to anyone, like sponsors etc., about anything and everything. So like it tends to be that, say we got like a BMW M2 in, it'll be like, oh yeah, so what cars did you used to have? What's your dream car? It kind of goes down that route instead of like actually talking about rugby. Like, I know people want to ask
quite
me
refreshing
questions, yeah, but then it's like,
take this the right way, but it's like talking about an ex-girlfriend. Like, it was an ex-girlfriend, like, it happened 5 years ago, mate. Like, what are you doing now? Is it, mate? In the nicest way possible. To be fair, mate, you've had some, probably didn't say that the best way, but, like, it's like, you know, you've had an exceptional career. You've had an exceptional career, but if you're in the now, we're in the now and you're doing something.
Yeah, I think, like, it don't, like, I know people come in, like, Tom Shanklin comes in and he's got a car off us, and it's just like, like, we won't just talk about rubbish, like what he's doing, he's got a locker room, etc. But it's like, people come in, they're either petrol heads, normal person who, like, you know, you can talk about anything, or, like, you got rugby fans who follow Wales, and if there's a game on the weekend, a lot of people come in, oh, did you watch a game? Mm. And I was like, probably not, no. Yeah. Like, that's half it. Yeah. Unless it's Cardiff and Wales, like, I won't watch Premiership rugby, or do you mean? I used to watch a lot of Super when I was younger.
Rugby,
yeah. But like, I wouldn't watch like the French league or anything like that unless it's big games on, which the end of the season is more big games going on.
Did you ever when you talk about them car violating, my younger brother started his business back up.
He's back at it.
We have to get him in. Yeah, he started his business back up car violating, which is good for Elle. He loves it. So yeah. Never know. I know you've got your fellas there, but we have to. Okay. If you ever
depends how much he's charging.
Do very good job. Very good. But I was going to move over to rugby a little bit now, but let's, for instance, you go into commentary. I remember, like, have you had any media training? Because you're a lot better. Like, not as if you're bad. You know, you did the podcast the last time with me. To where you are now, you seem so relaxed. You just seem more in the flow.
Yeah, like, the hard thing is when you're playing, no, you got to watch what you say or what you do. But, like, you know, this is just like an open conversation. Like, as a catcher. Like, I haven't seen you for ages, and it's generally what I'm doing day to day and stuff. Yeah. But, like, a lot of stuff you get, not like, it's always the same, like, oh, what was your favourite position? Yeah. Or, like, how was the Six Nations? Do you mean, and stuff like that. Like, it's not samey, but, like, you get this, like, it's the same answers you kind of say, like, over and over. And, like, this is just an open conversation, and it's just relaxed and chilled. And, it's nice. It's nice, isn't it? Like what I'm doing day to day, because you don't know what I'm doing, but like it's nice to actually say what I'm actually doing.
Yeah.
But like rugby, kind of like, oh yeah, right, so you played this game, or how did that go, or Six Nations went well. So it's kind of like you get the same questions from, say, a number of journalists, really, or from the media.
Yeah.
But you don't, like, I've never had training. It's just,
you're very good.
No, but like, you get offered it. But it's just like, I try and bring my personality.
Be you.
Like, do you mean it's not? Don't try and do anything different. I don't try and like you could say stuff which obviously you could go the opposite way to, like, say, oh, like, I've always been a positive person with Wales and stuff, but you could say something negative, and then that kind of like gets more brought up than what's been positive.
Clickbait.
Yeah, exactly.
Clickbait, like,
my wife works in PR. And,
she? Oh yeah.
Yeah, but comms.
Pregnant.
Yeah.
Congratulations, mate. Thanks, mate. I feel funny telling someone congratulations for putting one in. but congrats. Yeah. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, it's kind of like it comes in waves.
Yeah.
You don't, like, you're like, oh my God, I've got someone else to look after now. Like, your life changes. Like, we've got a dog, so you kind of, like, obviously, not attention, but, like, you got to look, got to make sure the dog's fine and stuff. And, like, for me, like, it don't matter if I don't eat all day, but at the end of the day, it's going to be a lot different when the when she's here. So baby girl.
You got names yet? Have you kept under wraps?
We got one or two. Like, we're trying to, like, see what's going to stick. But it's exciting. It's different. It's kind of like a lot of people come in and say, it's like it's not negative, but it's like, oh, you. Your nights are gone, your weekends are gone, all this.
Just telling you all the worst part.
Yeah, I was like, well, thanks, mate. I kind of know this. Like, dude, it's the same cycle. And you see people, like, one of the boys, he's like, yeah, I've had 2 hours sleep tonight. And he's on the tools, so he's like one of the mechanics. And then you see him and you can see, like, the next day he's had, like, a full 8 hours. And it makes a hell of a difference.
Totally different person. I need my sleep.
I needed it really, really bad. I said, like, 9:30, I'd have to be in bed. I'd probably get up at 7, or even like a day off, I'd get up at 9. Yeah. So I'd sleep 9 till 9. Like, I can get away with minimal sleep, but then it'd be a point where I need to like catch up. But I don't know how I'm gonna be getting up in the middle of the night for like a feed or.
We'll do a podcast when you have the little girl. We'll do check-ins with Josh Navini.
Bring her in.
Oh, amazing, mate! Congratulations, both of you. You guys been married a couple of years now, haven't you?
Yeah, well, it's 2 years now.
Yeah. I'll cut this out just in case she's like, no, it's been 3 years.
It's coming up to 3 years.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Oh, mate, that's class. Amazing. It's just a new life. It's like a transition of everything, but I'm sure you'll be amazing.
I think we haven't timed it right one bit.
Planned?
So, like, after. So, my brother's getting married this year. We were, like, plan to do things. So my brother's getting married in May, and it's just like we got loads of weddings coming up and stuff, and we thought, right, start trying after my brother's wedding, because, like, there's a couple of things beforehand, like drinking, like parties and stuff, and then Christmas, because we found out, like, 2 weeks before Christmas, we found out really early.
Wow.
like 2 weeks in, and like Christmas is a nightmare because like both of us drink. Elle likes a glass of red, so she can't hide away from it. So it's like the close, like our close family and stuff. We had to tell because we couldn't get around it. But yeah, we were like, all right, we'll try after my brother's wedding, and then like that, like the she came down, she went, she was gone. I was like, she's upstairs for a while. She comes down, and I thought it was like a jokey one. So I don't say anything. I'm like laughing. And I thought she's going to say something. And she's being serious. And I was like, oh my God, this is nuts. But we didn't know how to like take it because it weren't planned or anything. It's something like, you know, if you're planning it, it's like, yeah. I mean, but when it's out of like nowhere surprise, it was absolutely, it was a curveball. But like, you know, I wouldn't change anything. Nah,
love that, man.
Yeah.
I bet the boys are, and the girls are all happy. I know Cal will be cheering. He's he's in Asia at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in Singapore.
Singapore.
Yeah, so one of my best mates just had a baby girl as well.
Who's that?
Spice.
Oh, yeah, DJ.
Yeah.
Dude, is this a DJ off, is it, or what? Yeah. Trying to one-up each other.
Yeah, but like they'll probably be in the same school here, so it'd be nice.
Amazing.
Yeah, so it's like, you get to that age now, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like, nice, everyone kind of like gets married and then...
Love that, man.
Yeah, kids.
Class, mate. This it's exciting times, and it's all kind of come together. You've got a good family too, man, so it's not as if you're on your own in this either, so...
Yeah, like my parents, Elle's parents, they're like full-on like into it, and like...
She's a valley girl?
Yeah.
They're good girls, mate.
Ash, yeah, but...
She's going to listen to this.
She's not from the valley.
No?
Well, she is from the valley, but she's... Yeah. Like, doing, you know, like, it's... Morals and stuff like that, like communities and all that. You get it in Wales, especially that you got like say villages and stuff. Everyone's tight and everyone cares for each other. So I think,
It's nice that is though.
Yeah,
because when I like it got my. I remember going away, like obviously in Welsh, but like going away for 11 years, coming back. Families over in Australia are not as tight knit as ours. Like they might see each other once a month or later. Like, for instance, my nan, like, if I didn't call her once a week, I'm in the doghouse. Yeah. So it's a totally different dynamic and spend time on the weekends, which is nice. It's been refreshing to come home. Yeah. Is without going too heavy, my granddad passed away last week.
Oh,
Eddie, remember Ed? Your dad would definitely know him. I don't want to say it is what it is because that's such an easy thing to say, but he was a massive part of my life and he's definitely like a father figure. But this is quite deep. But it's true. When you come into this world, the people you come to is family, mum and dad. Yeah. And I realized when I was sitting there in the hospital bed with my grandpa, I looked around the room and the only people who are there when you leave this world is family. So we should cherish those moments. We should give more time to family than we do ever because we have loads of friends. We have amazing friends, but you can't beat family, man.
Yeah.
Without being, you know, too deep, but it's it really hit me hard last week when I seen it. But I'm very blessed to have an amazing family, just like you have. Yeah. But that's my little
people you probably turn to the most, really, didn't you? Like, I'm lucky, like got really like tight family, and then especially like my friends and stuff that everyone's so tight and you can talk about anything, and that's how you want it to be.
Mm.
Like you don't want, like when you speak to people, you don't want to be judged or anything like that, do you? You just want to be open and honest and
be yourself, innit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is someone gonna judge someone for something like?
Do you think when you left rugby that it was a different lease?
It's like something new, something exciting. I found like I say this all the time. Like my dad's drilled into me like every game can be your last. So like that's how I played, that's how I trained, that's how I done my things. Like I probably went not OTT, but like. I've like probably missed out a few things like social events and stuff. Not social events, but like I've always wanted to be in bed at like 9:30 and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, you've sacrificed all that for one thing. But like now, I'm kind of like last year, I was like, yeah, I'm free. I drank like loads and went out and just enjoyed myself. And like now, I'm sick of drinking. Like I've gone back and I've probably been out. Well, at my brother's partner's stag a couple of weekends ago, and then had a few in January, but it weren't like they were the only two times I've been out this year like properly. And it's kind of things like I don't miss it now, and I kind of in that transition where things are going to change and got a baby on the way, which is going to change a lot more.
Yeah, true.
So it's kind of like, I don't know if I'm growing up, but I've kind of done what I've probably missed the last couple of years. Well, lost years since I was playing. Yeah. To like actually, yeah, I can do whatever. I can book holidays, go whenever. And I've got like a new lease of life. You do commit a lot. And it,
massively.
What I found now, I can just, right, if I want to, like, tonight, like, do this, go have food late, get in 10, 11 o'clock, and it won't affect me tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, like, I can say this weekend, I want to go to France.
Just go do it,
You can go do it, you don't have to worry about it, but...
It's nice, that stuff, isn't it? You take for granted your Saturdays. Because playing takes your whole weekend up, I don't care what anyone says. Because the day after you're sore, you know, you don't really want to do...
3 days after.
Not for me,
yeah,
I don't...
Right,
mate, I get the touch judge to defend instead of me, I don't tackle. But, you know, like, you're sore, you don't really want to go too far after that. You might have brekkie, coffee, and then you're back at it again then Monday, Tuesday, you know, so...
Yeah, I used to try and get out of the house as much, like...
Yeah.
So, flip back. Sunday, I used to try and get out and just, like, walk the dog or get out, but you don't realise how much, like, you're suffocated in that... you are suffocating that environment to, like, actually, like, to be free and do what you want to do and go wherever you want. Like, even, like, weekends, like, now I can book something next year.
Yeah.
And it's in the diaries, booked. Unless something else serious comes up, you can actually just go and do it instead of...
You've been going away a fair bit, out West Wales and stuff?
Yeah, we've got a caravan to West Wales, so so it's nice, it's just like...
switch off, get away.
Yeah, so like you get down to Carmarthen and kind of like forget, but then, oddly enough, we've got the works phone, so if someone calls, I pick it up, and it's not hard, it don't feel like work.
Yeah.
You just pick up, deal with whoever, what questions they have, and then you book in for an appointment then, so...
Class.
Yeah.
I'm loving this, mate. Just a good old chat. This is a nice little catch-up. Get the beers in. A couple of beers here. We'll just stay here all night, camp out.
I don't drink no one.
To be honest, mate, I haven't... I've barely drunk this year. I think I had a drink over Christmas, but I don't... I've been a shit person the night after. What's it called, like anxiety or something? I can't handle the booze because I just think my thoughts get worse of me. Yeah, some people are very lucky, they can have a drink, wake up the next day like nothing happened. And
normally I remember, like, if I don't go OTT, I remember most of the night.
Yeah.
So normally it's all right. But then you get, like, say on Monday, you'd be like, oh, remember? I was like, oh no, that's when I start.
Callum's wedding for me, mate. That's the worst I've been in a long time. Yeah. I reckon 4 days after his wedding, I was like, what did I do? Big time, man. But that was a good wedding. It was a wild one. You had your kit off, didn't you?
Well, my trousers ripped. So.
That old chest. But my shirt come off too.
So my trousers ripped, and then I was like, right, I can't. Like everyone was like ripping them more and stuff, and like my boxers are out. So I was like, I need to go get changed. So like I put like these denim shorts I had on.
Yeah.
Like, attached my
dungarees.
Thing, and I just looked awful, and then I think Liam Reed ripped my buttons. So then, like, oh, his shirt was off and all that.
The short shirt was off and
be in a safe space, you're in a safe space.
Weddings, but no photos or cameras there, was it?
Oh god, yeah. I dread, like, when we saw the video of cars, like, right, come on, please don't be anything bad in there that I've done.
Oh, man.
Because I was on the mic and all that. I can't sing. The Chili Peppers came on.
That's right.
And then,
that's good times. How are you finding the DJ now?
Yeah, it's good. It's like, do you mean I pick a lot of gigs up when like rugby and stuff is on?
I've seen you at the France or Italy game.
Yeah, so I do all the...
Did you do all of them?
Yeah, I do all the home games. Oh. And then I was doing walkabout after. So.
Ching. Ching.
I do it for the love, for the music.
Yeah, fair play to you, man.
It's one of them that, like, after I used to come home from training 2 o'clock, used to sit on card till like 9 o'clock at night, and I was like, I'm not getting anything out of this. So I was like, right, buy a set of decks, because I was always like not like into my music, but like DJ and stuff. I don't know why. Used to have it on my iPad, and then like went away from that, and then I bought my decks and then started to learn. And then it would actually give me something to do and like more mental stimulation than actually go home, play
COD
and not get anything out of it. Because you'd like look at your time and you'd be like 2 weeks or
depressed.
And you're like 2 weeks of my life, like flat out.
I've been on COD
and it was just one of those things that I started doing and then one of the first gigs I had was my brother Salem when he opened that.
Nice.
And, you find when you have gigs, you like practice a lot more and just like get new music and just make your playlists right. But when you're actually there, you're like, I've turned up Walkabout. I was like, turned up first one, rammed. I was like, right, I can go hard here. But then the second time, it kind of like was a bit quieter. So I had to start like to get the crowd up and it just vibing like filled up a bit. Just filled up. So it's like how you start and how you think. So I like hip hop and R&B is always my thing. And then you, like, I don't know why, like, say, when I do clubs, like, say I'm starting at 10, I'll, like, start with, like, history kind of vibes then start, building up because, like, clubs don't get really busy till 12.
Yeah, later.
And you can see, like, the changeover when people come in.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's, like, rammed. And when it's rammed, you can just kind of play, not what you want, but you know, you have, like, things in your head.
Yeah, do you have one song that you know whenever this drops, it's always like it's a certain time in that we know this is going off?
Yeah, there's a few songs back in the day I used to have, but they're like banned now because of some bloke.
Banned?
Yeah, so.
R. Like, Kelly?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, but like, do you know, Ignition?
I used to love Ignition.
Like yeah, but like, you can't play them. So, say you play in a club, you can't play them. And
what about P. Diddy? You allowed to play him anymore?
Well, I don't know.
Because of all the shit coming out with him? That's mad, crazy, isn't it? Yeah,
mad. But, like, you do have your go-tos and you do, like, it can't change because you could play something somewhere and then play that elsewhere and you're like, well, I didn't get the same effect as the thing. So you do, like, chop and change, but normally, like, you do have songs which, like, raises the roof and all that. So, yeah, you do have.
Any off the top of your head? I'll just check on
Spotify. Free From Desire, everyone, like, do you mean that always goes on? Especially
in rugby. Yeah, love that name. One song I hate, I think it's been drummed in my head so much, is Wonderwall. I hate Wonderwall.
Yeah, I've actually played that, yeah.
You have? Don't.
No, I got like a cool, like, Chili's Can't Stop.
Can't Stop.
Remix. And I have actually got a Tom Jones remix. Nice. I played that in the stadium. That went well, yeah.
You're on Spotify?
No, I don't like.
Why?
I don't know. I am on Spotify, but I don't like do playlists. I like mine a mess. So it'd be like, this is how I've always set up. I do like January all the way through to December 24.
Nice.
And then, like, this month I'll start, like, say, oh, yeah, I hear this in this month. I'll put that into a playlist and just keep going like that.
Yeah,
and
then
by the end of the year, you put them into one, and then that's your playlist for the year.
Nice.
Like, imagine having...
Yeah.
It goes back. Mine goes way back, like iPod.
Nice.
So I think it goes back to, like, it would have been 2005, I think, I had my first iPod.
Really?
Maybe even before...
Yeah.
It's got to be around 2005, 2006, when we were in the car. Like, I probably still got...
Check it on.
If
I connect it to the Wi-Fi, the Bluetooth here, would you check it on?
Yeah, I can do it.
Hit the Bluetooth here.
Right, where to go?
Hit your Bluetooth on. It should be
Rode Procaster. Oh, let me see if... Oh, is it still on here? I don't think it is. I'm just trying to see.
So I take your time. We're not in.
Where is it?
I used to listen, man. We used to drive because you know what you do in small towns. Drive around Tesco's, McDonald's. You've got your songs playing.
So like, this is how many playlists I got. Like,
have you got Bluetooth on?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find. Find the. Oh, let me put the Bluetooth on.
Should be Rode Pro. I'll get them for copyright now, won't I?
To know.
Nah, we'll be fine.
Just don't put it. Is it coming on? 857, is that it?
No. It should be Rode. Is it not on?
Let me click on, click it back off. It normally does a trick, doesn't it? As a car dealer, you find that loads of Bluetooth. It might be that 857.
Nah, that's that big speaker there. I tell you what.
That's it.
Can you get it on my phone, on Spotify mine, if I type Josh Navidian?
No, it's on my, I got iTunes. This is how old school goes.
I'm scared of hitting it and losing it.
I'll put it by the mic.
Yeah, go on then.
is it? It'd be like my classics, I think I'd put them all in. Where is it now? My oldies, like, oh, this goes way back, like. You don't even, like, half this stuff I can't play.
Do you like country music? I love country now.
Do you?
Yeah, I vibe country.
Oh, God, do you? I can't play Lost Prophets, can you?
Yeah, that's another one you can't do.
This is like an old one. This is why.
Check it on the mic.
Well, now, we call this the act of mating. But there are several other very important
Bloodhound
differences between human beings and animals that you should know about.
I've heard this.
Can you remember?
Yeah, I remember. This is oldie.
Yeah.
Get it to the middle. Yeah, you and me, baby, mean nothing but mammals.
Like, like some of the stuff I got on here, it's like, I don't know, like.
Give us one more.
Well, like Green Day.
Yeah, Green Day's a goodie.
Got Incubus, Linkin Park. That's what I used to listen Park. To.
What was your hype song before rugby?
Oh my God. This
Let
is,
me see.
I got a playlist here that.
Give it, call it to me and I'll put it through the.
It's game day. So you got.
It is.
You Don't Know, Eminem, 50 Cent.
Oh, that's a good
How We Do It, Game. This in the Club, 50.
50 Cent's a man.
And then it goes into, where we go, like Black and Yellow. Yeah.
Better for the speaker.
Do you know that bass, right? So, do you know this?
Aftermath.
Do you know when I used to play this? So I used to get in the car before going to Cardiff and I'd play this.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of like
clicky.
Game mode. Yeah. It's weird. But like.
It's a banger, like, this is.
I know what song would come on weird, like from my house to the.
So you time it. What was your last song?
Oh, God, truly.
What was your little hype song?
So I got Forever, Drake, but then, like, I go back, I got, like, P.O.D., Boom, Power, Kanye West.
This is a goodie to get pumped up the games.
Then I got, like, Slipknot.
Understand. Oh, Slipknot. Papa Roach, remember Papa Roach?
Yeah.
Cut my life into pieces. All right, let's get back to the podcast.
But, like, yeah, it's like I had the same playlist, and I could probably go back, like, on my iTunes and you can see how many times you've listened to it. So it's like, I don't know how many games of rugby I played. 180 odd for Blues, say 200.
How many Welsh caps you get?
33. Yeah. So it's got to be like, plus pre season games and stuff, it's got to be like 230, I reckon, like professional.
Lions as well?
Yeah. I was only a couple there.
But still. Just a couple of Lion games there. I casually say that too. Just a couple, you know, if I ever did it.
Yeah, it's always like, I always think back to that and it's weird. Like,
why? Because it was COVID and stuff? Or?
Yeah. And like, do you mean you don't get called up? Not first of all, I never thought I'd get called up, but like coming in late and then like kind of like just flying up to Scotland to go straight to South Africa. Like, on the day, it was mad, like how, like it went and COVID and stuff like that. Like I saw a clip of when they played in South Africa and Hugo Moni gets an interception and he runs the length and you see him like celebrate and stuff and like you think like imagine seeing like a sea of red.
It was just because you missed out on that part because of the COVID. Yeah, of course. It's an incredible achievement. You've hit the highest of highs. Semi-final in the World Cup, which should have gone to the final. But, man, like, I know we haven't spoke much about rugby, but you've got to be proud of everything you've achieved. Like, from that kid who was six playing touch rugby for the Arth to what he's done now. It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it didn't feel like work. That's what I've always said. Like, doing, like, I'm like the stuff you look, like, you will, like, I will look back, and I do look back, and now I got... Well, my dad used to go nuts about canvases. He had, like, you remember in the gym, he had the big canvases and stuff. And his one, like, they just stored in the in the garage. So I was doing weights, on Tuesday. And I was looking at it, and I was like, I was looking at the shape of my arms and stuff, and there's a photo of me, like, handing off Bowden Barrett.
Wow.
I was like, flipping heck, I was in good nick then. I was like, look at me now.
No, you're still in good shape.
Yeah, it's all right. I just like, kept one meal a day.
Yeah.
Like, no breakfast. And then, like,
intermittent fasting.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call it that. It's just like, I've known what, like, as a player.
Yeah, you knew what worked.
If I was training, like, with the team, like, doing full-on rugby, etc., I knew I'd have to have my breakfast, and then we'd have, like, a brunch, and then lunch, and then I'd have dinner. But, like, now, like, when I was, like, injured, I know I'd cut out breakfast, have lunch, have dinner, and that's me, and I'd keep, like, a steady weight, or I'd go too big. So, like, now, I know it's, like, intermittent fasting, but, like, that's how I've learned how my body reacts. And you do after time.
You got him. I definitely put... finished last year, like, probably the fourth time I've finished, but Christmas, I'm playing weight for me was, like, 79, 80 kilos, which is light, isn't it? But I'm four foot and a fart, so I didn't need to be heavy. But I got up to 87 over Christmas, eating Mum's Welsh cakes.
Dude.
Oh, mate, I blew up. And then but you don't know you're doing it, and then you see a photo. And my uncle, I remember it was over Christmas. You know the Christmas Day dip down Coney?
Yeah.
So my other uncle does Ironmans. He's slim. Mum and my auntie were next to me, these small women. And I was standing there, I was like, bloody hell, look at that beefcake. And then we put it off. My cousin was like, put it in the family group chat. I was like, fuck. Nah, yeah. I don't want to. Anyway, Titch, my uncle.
Yeah.
He caught wind of it. I remember we went over his house for Christmas Day and he ripped shreds into me in a funny way, but I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
And it actually woke me up though. I'm like grateful he did it because it woke me up. I remember going home, I moved out in January to Puthcawl and back down to 82 now. But
nice.
We need sometimes to give us a little fire in our belly or kick up the ass because we get comfortable, don't we?
Yeah, but you think about it, like how long you've been training and stuff, like rugby, and then it is like you do it every day and do you mean you train to that high standard, but like now it's like kind of you got to enjoy it. You got to go out there and enjoy getting out.
Yeah.
Like getting those early mornings, catching the sun. Yeah. Like when I was this week, when I went out and like the sun was coming up, I was like, well, people are probably still in bed and I'm like actually enjoying myself going out and like seeing it. I know I wasn't... training for anything. I just went out there to like have a little plod, walk, like run with the dog, and then go in, and then my day starts, kind of thing.
I was speaking to Brad the other day, and I said I'm having a podcast, and he was like, "Man, ask him about his game day prep." He said he was always like, "What was that like?"
I was just like chilled. So, on Friday I'll go back. So go game day minus one, like that's what you call it.
Yeah.
So, like, you have team run, I'd get back, have lunch, and then straight on the Normatec, get them on, either, like, have a kip on the sofa, or go up the stairs and chill, have some more food. And then I'd always have, like cod and mash with, like, parsley sauce.
Yeah, nice.
So I don't know why, it's just, like, easy to eat, loads of carbs, like, you know, light. But, like, game day... Say it was a late kickoff, say 7 o'clock. I'd get up as late as possible. So say I went to bed like 9:10, I'd get up and sometimes I remember once I got up like 10:30, 11.
Yeah,
like I had slept, so I literally got up for my breakfast, went back to bed. So my breakfast would be probably scrambled egg on toast with a bit of beans, and then. I'd go back to bed, have a nap, get up, and then say I got up at like 3, I'd have like tuna pasta, like fill up loads.
Wow.
I'd like have a big plate of pasta because I never like eating like close to the game, and then that's when I'd start like flicking the switch and stuff. Not flicking a switch, like just getting myself ready. Cause
so three, you'd wake up at 3.
Yeah.
3 what? AM or PM?
Oh no, PM. So PM. So normally like say game day, I get up at 9, have my scrambled egg.
Yeah.
And then 12 I'll have my pasta. Yeah. Sorry, and then I'd go back to bed and then I'll get up at 3.
Then eat.
And then I'll have my I'd make pancakes. So I'd make it. I'd make everything in the morning. So I'd make my tuna my pasta ready. Mm. And then I'll just mix it up. Like just chuck it in, it's quite easy. And then I'd make the like the pancake mix, put it in the fridge. So then when I come down at 3, it's ready to go. So that was my pre-match meal. And I would have like 2 pancakes, a banana, honey on top.
Wow.
And then maybe some electrolytes or something with it. And then by the time I have that shower, you'd in the car and then off to the game. Like, but I would sleep probably most of the day. Like how many days I've wasted again up at 9. Some I have fallen back to sleep before lunch, but I'd go down, watch TV, like have my breakfast and go back to bed like after my lunch at 12, have my tuna pasta, go back to sleep for like another 3 hours, get up for like my pre-match meal and then off to the game.
That's thorough, man. That's
very so bad. It was so, like, I look back at it now and I'm like, I've done that for like, well, I don't know how many, like 12, 14 years. And it was kind of like a routine. I always had. And like, I used to hate, so one of the coaches we had, he was like, right, we need to do a primer, like 3 o'clock, everyone's got to be at the veil and all this. And I was like, I put my hand up, I was like, oh no, I'm not doing that. I said, I do the same thing. Because if you sleep, it like, one of the coaches we had, so it's the same as doing like a gym work, like not gym workout, you can do like a primer, so you do like
a pump up.
Yeah, pump up, so it like spikes your testosterone level, so it's the same as sleep. So if you obviously come down, and if you sleep, it like comes back to thing, and then it slowly goes down as you wake up.
Yeah.
So my thing was, well, I sleep and nap to not get that, but like I just want to be as fresh and ready for game day. And it works for some people, they don't. Like I know Dan Carter, is like, I think I read years ago that he used to have like a power nap like before like team meal or something like that. So like freshen up. But like everyone's different.
Everyone's
so
different, yeah.
You know, like boys would jump in the shower to like have a cold shower and all that to spike. Yeah. So it's
everyone's different, aren't they?
Yeah, but
that's
why I got the nickname Human Mattress from that, really.
Half man, half mattress.
Because people would be like, oh, where's Navs? And like,
sleep.
I'll be asleep. And like, playing cards or going out for coffee. But if I had a coffee, I wouldn't be able to have my nap. Yeah. And then it'd just be like a knock-on effect. But because I've always done it, I wouldn't defer from it.
Mm.
So it kind of like when you're younger, it starts from like, I don't know. I remember when I used to play for Glamorgan Wanderers. If it was in this is when I go back or say an early kickoff, I used to have ravioli on toast because I wouldn't want to eat like a full meal or anything like that. I'd have ravioli, like, do you know the Heinz?
Yeah, I know.
Ravioli, yeah, I'd have that on toast, like a 1-2 o'clock kickoff because I wouldn't eat anything else. Yeah.
I don't like I like to feel light before the game, empty a bit.
Like boys, like shoveling.
How?
Like Josh Turnbull used to do it. I used to like bath me and Macaulay Cook. You know,
Macaulay,
Macca. And he used to eat this big old plate. And I was like, how are you eating that before a game? Because I'd feel like
it was spew like, it up.
Not even that. Like, just gluggy. Feel heavy there. So, yeah.
So, move over to talk about players. Mate, we did an event. Obviously, we're off-grid at the moment. And this event place is happening at the... You've done the DJ.
Yeah,
you did one, you're right. It's a good spot, isn't it?
Yeah, it's wicked.
Bang. I'm loving what...
Good job.
I'm really like pumped and stoked to see where it's going to be in the next year or two. But we did an event for one of the Six Nations games, and I did a speaking event with Andy Powell.
I see that.
And he's clean off, isn't he? He is clean off.
He's bad.
He was telling me about this one time. They love the races. They all love a punt on the horses.
Yeah.
And one of the training sessions, he like must have played the game the night after or something like that. He put a bet on a horse, and he won like 75K. So he's enjoyed his night. And he's rocked up to Welsh training late, hungover. And he's like gone up to Gats, and Gats is just like, what the fuck are you doing, you know?
Yeah.
And he showed him his ticket, like 75K. And he's just like, get in there and just put your head in. And he's just trained the hardest and everything, he said. But like, he was just clean off. But when he said that, he's just like, he's on a different world, that boy is. And
yeah, I know like Pauly when I was coming first into Cardiff and like academy, and you come in and you like, do you keep yourself to yourself kind of thing? And then you start training with the first team. But one time it snowed. So like a week later, I don't know what happened. He must have been up to something. Like probably the same thing, gone on a bender, like winning on the horses. And it's like one of the boys lived probably 2 minutes up the road, like not like a mile away from him. So he's got himself into training. And then... they're like trying to ring Pauly, can't get hold of him, whatever. And then he's like, rung, I'm sure Dai was there at the time, and I think he spoke to, he rung Dai or the conditioners, because normally you either message like the conditioners or the team manager to say, oh, I won't be in because I'm ill or stuff, or he lays with the doctor. He's like, yeah, I'm stuck in snow. There's loads of snow up here. I can't get out of my house. Rhys Williams Tank, we called him. He's like, he lives a minute up the road. I'm like, I got in. It's like, no snow up there. So he like, not dropped him in there, but like, it's like stuff like that. Yeah. He not got away with, but he's just like, he's just mad. And I remember I went to this charity event, a golf day up in Cotchell Park. Pauly retired at the time. And obviously the buggy thing, they thought, I'll have a laugh, have him like drive around the golf course passing beers out. So he's obviously well oiled on the buggy. And other time I like loved it, like this was like I think 2017 or something like that. Like I was like having a few. And it's a Wednesday now, in the middle of summer preseason. Yeah. Wednesday, and he's like done his Q&A, like came with his stories about the buggy and all that. And then he's literally like sits next to me and we have a chat and start like having a few. He's like, should we go to Revs? I was like, I'm not doing, no chance. He's like, come on, let's go to Revs. So he ends up going to Revs. Like Revs Wednesdays used to be massive, didn't it? He ends up going to Revs and I'm like, this is mad. It's like, I can't think of anything, not worse, but like.
Just the thought like of doing it right
like,
now.
Like 27. Like going out on a Wednesday full of students, I can imagine. It.
I was gonna say he's a student night in it.
Yeah,
he must just love it.
Oh mate, like.
Well, he was saying on the he was talking about Ronan O'Gara. So when he got into the British Lions squad, he said he got roomed up with Ronan O'Gara. Have you heard this?
No.
And he was like, he went in there and he was like, I've never met someone who likes gambling more than me. And he went in the room. Next thing, he's like, right, we bet. He goes, getting you, we're betting now. And next thing though, he said he spent 38 grand within like 2 hours of being in that room with Ronan O'Gara.
Oh my God.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Like, I think.
That is like crazy.
I think it's a bad, no, like, it's coming out of the game. Like, my dad used to own a bookie, so I never used to gamble. I'd gamble now and then. But like, I think it's because like, you chase, but maybe they chase that like buzz that you have from winning and stuff. And like it's come out now because like you see younger boys like caught wind, like if they see like Andy Powell winning 75 grand, they don't know how much he's lost.
Yeah, he's just telling you his wins.
Yeah, how much he wins, and like you weigh out like how much you think he's probably a neg ek on the on the, his actually winning slip, and then the younger boys get whim of it, so they think, oh yeah, I'll start betting, and it's a dark hole to get into, and I've seen it firsthand, like boys like. Just like gambling on all sorts and stuff like that, and it's like the house always wins. Like it makes always. No difference. Makes no difference. Like at the end of the day, if you're a rugby player, you can't gamble at rugby. I've only done it once when I was playing, and it was when Japan beat South Africa, and South Africa were in the lead. I was like, Japan are going to win this, so I put like 25 quid on, and I think it was like 25-1. So I won like the thing, but that's the only time I've ever done it because. I had like a feeling, but gambling's not for me.
I gambled that game. So I gambled South Africa would beat Japan and Tonga would beat Georgia in that World Cup. Yeah. Both teams lost. I lost $700. Yeah. But I was like,
betting big, were
you? Yeah, I was going big when I
was 25 quid.
$700 was like 350. But after that, I was like, I'm done. It's like, it's not worth it for me, you know. But
I've done it in the past. Like, you have like accumulation. And put a pound on.
Yeah.
They never come, do they?
Nah. I did it once in Australia. I did a full thing in Australia once, but it's nice to see. Obviously, I've known you since school days, but like just the journey you've been on, and when I come back from Australia, it was just like nothing changed. As in, like, same. We just clicked like that again, like picked up where we were left off, and that's amazing, man. So it's exciting. I was gonna say, when are you gonna come to Run Club? We get that Lions jersey on you every time you think about walking.
I'll be walking.
every time we see you walking, I look at that Lions flag and then
I'll come once, but I need to get a bit of my engine back.
May we go slow, because we got to. It's obviously for everyone.
Yeah.
It's about building the community. I love community, man, and I'm It's one of my big things in what I do with business and in life is like, we got to bring good people together and there's a no dickhead policy. But I find like people who are like morning people and they're getting at it, they're all good people. Like they,
everyone wants the same, doesn't it? Because you know, like normally people get up early and crack on their day. Like they're that same type of people because they probably go to bed early because they want to be up early. And like you don't miss anything after... I always say you don't miss anything after 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Well, you're missing like something on TV, which you can record now. And
true.
Yeah.
Do you miss rugby at all?
Like in the World Cup, like I remember, like I was doing commentary, and I looked down, and it was the who do we play in the quarters? No. I'm trying to think. I can't remember what game it was, but I remember it was like a massive win. Mm. I looked down. It's to qualify. I looked down and you see like all the bench and all that like jumping up, hugging each other. I was like, that what you miss? Like that win after like going into those change rooms, you'd be bouncing, you'd be jumping, you'd be dancing. And it's like, I won't get that from anywhere else. Like, when I like, you mean like I sell a car, you get that little bit of buzz. And we get the banter in the get. Like, I go into work, the last 2 days have been hilarious. Like, we're just, like, bouncing off each other, like, ripping into each other. And it's just, like, it makes an easy work environment. Mm. If HR came in, same as rugby, if your HR came in, you'd get sacked.
Yeah.
Rugby, like, no doubt. So same as, like, it's three of us. So, like, we're all directors. So it's, like, well... You're saying like, oh, hang on, you're head of HR, you are. Like, oh. Do you mean it's like you can't do it in a workplace, but like we get into each other and it's just like friendly banter.
100%.
It gets you through the day.
Got to, man.
And then when stuff's serious, it's serious. So
like, you know, it's like rugby though, isn't it? When it's on, you can't. Yeah, that's cool, man. I'm liking what you're doing, and if I can help in any way, obviously plugging it on you, and you're already smashing it. But if I'm very big on. The universe works that way. You do good, you get good.
Like, I'm the same. Like at the end of the day, like my mate's just opened his coffee shop up in
Spice, isn't it?
Yeah, Spice 2 Shots. So he's just opened that with his mate. And like, if I can help, like share his journey or whatever, or be up there, like I was like, mate, if you need a hand, just let me know before he's opening. Because like, he might be like, oh, can you just run into Cardiff and grab me a plank of wood? I'll be like, yeah,
easy.
Get up there, because at the end of the day, you're doing something that. You're jumping out of your comfort zone and putting 2 feet into it. Like,
it's a good way to live life.
It's like when you started this podcast. Yeah, at the end of the day, you've gone 2 feet and into it. And you, like, do you mean it's where you are today?
Yeah, I love it, man. I think this has grown me so much without people even knowing. Because I get the like, how often would you sit with someone with no distractions and just talk for an hour and a half? Yeah. And we're just talking about everything. But it's just like... I learn off what you're doing, you learn what I'm doing, and then it's like, how can we help each other?
Yeah.
And that's my philosophy in life. But you know, it's been over 90 episodes now.
Yeah, wow. That's
and
amazing.
And how many, like,
who are you gonna have for 100?
Hedy Navidi. Hedy Navidi is number 100. Mark my words. Nah, big love. But I'm excited what you're doing and where you're going, and man, having a little girl soon as well.
Change, isn't it?
Yeah, Callum be gutted. He haven't got his buddy anymore. Drinking buddy.
Oh, I'm sure he wouldn't be far behind us. Nah. He talked about it. We've got to do it at the same time and all this. He was saying when we were away on the cruise.
Yeah, no, he said he mentioned it after Asia. I don't want to. It's on the podcast now. Fuck it. But, man, we'll wrap it up anyway because it's an absolute pleasure having you on. It's good to have a good friend on, but just sharing your journey of where you are now. I love obviously the rugby part, man, but. Doing even better things now, which is it's good to hear. So we'll see you at Thursday Run Club tomorrow morning. Mate, as always, we always ask, what are you grateful for?
What am I grateful for? My family, my wife, friends,
Like that, man.
Being healthy, like that's the main thing, isn't it?
Love that, man. Thank you so much, brother.
Amazing. Thanks, bro. Don't just talk it while. Walk is only. Don't just talk it, walk it. Don't just talk it, walk it. Walk is only. Don't just talk it, walk it.